greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing being with you all here again. For those of you that may not know me, I'm married to one of Reuben Hostetler's daughters. We live in Kentucky, so we're up here for a time together as a family with the Hostetlers. So. Let's stand to our feet. We'll have a prayer. Father, we just want to commit this time to you here as we look into your word and seek to draw some lessons from it. Lord, help me to know what all to include and what all to leave. And we just pray that you would bless this church, Lord, and cause it to prosper. Lord, I think of the song, "All in their stations move and each performs his part. One aim." I can't think of how the rest of the verse goes, but just the beautiful thing of a body functioning and working together. We just pray that you would bless the church here, the ministry, each family, each household. Father, and would you continue your work among them? May you be honored and glorified. Lord, I pray that strong families could be knit and built and work together here at Bethlehem, Father, for your honor and glory. Pray that you'd bless me now as I seek to share. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Well, Brother David called me earlier this past week and asked if I would share. And so my wife and I discussed it and thought maybe I could bring a message that I shared recently at home. I don't know you all very well here. And so... When you live and work with the church, you have more of a sense maybe of what could be a blessing. And the message that I'm planning to share here this morning is one I shared at home over a time of ordination, and it was with the burden that no one would feel like a bench warmer. When there is a larger church and there's, you know, a number of ordained people, you can maybe feel like, what's there for me to do? And so that's the burden of this message. And it comes from Nehemiah. You can turn to Nehemiah chapter 3. Nehemiah chapter 3. I titled the message, "The Wall by Your House." The Wall by Your House. And when I'll be referring to building a wall. And it's not a wall to exclude one another. It's a... I picture the wall as being something we build as a church for a safe place to raise our families in. So when I think of the wall here, and I refer to the wall, I want you to understand that I'm thinking about the church. And we're all involved here providing a safe place for God to dwell, for us to worship God, a safe place for us to raise our families in. And the picture of all having a part to play in that. And if you look here in Nehemiah chapter 3, notice verse 10. Here, verse 10 says, "And next unto them repaired Jediah, the son of Harumaph, even over against his house." So when the Bible talks about over against, we don't use that phrase in our modern English. What does it mean when someone repaired? Here it says over against his house. What's it mean, over against his house? Was the wall right smack up against his house? I don't really think so. What's it mean? Opposite. Or you might say across from his house. So I get the picture of right here's where his house was. One here was a section of the wall that was broken down. Let's just work right here. And he did what was right next to him, what was right beside him. Also look in verse 23. "After him repaired Benjamin and Hashub over against their house." There again, the same picture. Verse 28. "From above the horse gate repaired the priests, everyone over against the house." 29. "After them repaired Zadok, the son of Immer, over against his house." And 30. "After him repaired Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanan, the sixth son another piece. After him repaired Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, over against his chamber, or room, you might say. So several verses here that talk about building the wall next to our house. And in the church, all of us have something next to our house, right? Something we can give ourselves to, something that's maybe at hand. And, you know, if we leave it all to the ordained, there'll be a lot of needs that get missed, right? There's a lot of needs that'll get missed if we leave it all to the ordained. So that's some of the burden of the message this morning. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So whatever your hand finds to do, put your heart into it and do it." And Mark 14:8 says, "She hath done what she could." You know, there's some things we can't do, but all of us have some things we can do. And Jesus blessed this woman because she did what she could. Maybe it wasn't much, but she did what she could. So I'd like to go through. We can't cover the whole chapter, but there's maybe spend a little more time with some of the earlier verses, and we'll just see how far we get and draw some lessons here out of Nehemiah chapter 3. And so again, it's in the context, none of us are building up a broken down city, but we're all seeking to work together to provide a safe place to raise our families, to worship God together. And in that, we all have different giftings and different abilities, and we're not all going to be the same. Okay, verse 1, Nehemiah 3, verse 1. "Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananeel." And notice here, these were, what were these? They're priests. And the high priest, he led out in it. And I get the picture of these were some spiritual men. And I don't know what the sheep gate was for. Was it named the sheep gate just because for a name? Or did it have some significance maybe with sacrifice? Maybe that's where they brought the sheep through to go to the temple to sacrifice. I don't know. But it's you have high priests, and they built this sheep gate. And they were spiritual men, and they did this work in a spiritual way. They sanctified it. They had a burden to again see God being worshipped here among his people. And they had a burden to make this a hallowed place. And as they did their work, they sanctified it. They set up the doors. And it sounds like a very spiritual vision these men had as they worked. And we have people among us that are maybe ordained, where you have, you know, the elders here, and their work is more of a spiritual work. And maybe you don't feel like you can measure up to that. Well, there's still something for you to do. Verse 2, "And next unto him builded the men of Jericho. And next unto them builded Zachar, the son of Imri." And, you know, maybe these men, I don't know who they were. It gives them no title, just men of Jericho and Zachar, the son of Imri. And maybe they looked over at Eliashib, the high priest, and they didn't, you know, we're not priests. We're not near that spiritual. But, you know, if it was all left to Eliashib, would it have got done? No, it wouldn't have got done. And so what they had to contribute was valuable. and if you think about it, what's more important, a wall or a gate? You know, a gate's more sophisticated, right? You know, the Eliashib, the priest there, they were building a gate. You know, it says it had doors, and other verses include locks and bars. You know, a gate's more sophisticated. And these men of Jericho, they're just building wall, right? It's not as sophisticated as a gate. But, you know, what does a gate do if there's no walls? You can have the best gate standing right there, but if no one builds walls, is it going to do any good? No, it won't do anything. The enemy would just go around the gate, no matter how good a gate you have. So all are needed. Verse 3, "But the fish gate that the sons of Hassanah build, who also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof and the bars thereof. It sounds like they did a very thorough, complete job. They wanted to get this gate working where it swung good, where it functioned well, but also where it could be securely locked and barred if enemy came. And I get the picture. They did a good, thorough job. Beams, doors, locks, and bars. Got it all working there. Put their heart into it. They wanted this gate to be very functional. But you don't read about any sanctifying ceremony they didn't have here. And in this, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be spiritual. I think all we do is done to the glory and honor of God with a spiritual heart. We all need to be spiritual men and women. But honestly, our giftings will vary. Our giftings will vary. And I don't, in a message like this, you have to be careful. It's not necessarily the best way to preach, I don't think, as a rule. You can take things maybe out of context. So bear with me in that and seek to hear my heart in this. But I don't know what this fish gate signifies. Fish gate. Was it where they brought the fish into the market? I don't know. But how I want to apply this is maybe you're not going to be a high priest. Maybe your calling isn't to the to perform the sacrifices and all those things. Maybe your strong point is just making sure that maybe the poor among you have fish for their table. You know, I think about Jesus. It says he was mighty in word and deed. Jesus, he preached to the multitudes. Jesus also, I love the picture there with that little girl that was sick. Thank you for the water, brother. When that little girl was sick and she died and Jesus raised her, I think it's where he said Tabitha Kumi or something like that. And he raised her up and he says he presented her to her mother, her parents. And he says, give her something to eat. Jesus knows that we're physical people in a physical body, and he knew this little girl needed something to eat. And maybe you will never be able to be up here and preach like you would like to be. But maybe God wants you to help make sure that there's fish on people's table. And making sure that the physical needs are being met. You know, call up someone you hear is struggling. You know, is there any way we can help? There's many things you can do like that I believe are valuable. And God said, Jesus said, even a cup of cold water given in his name, you'll no wise lose your reward. So maybe your calling, maybe your ability is to just build a fish gate and make sure that families have sufficient practical things to function in life. We all need to eat. Maybe you're not a priest, but maybe you can help with food and various such things. And next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Uriah, verse 4. Urijah, the son of Koz. Next unto them repaired Meshullam, the son of Berechiah. And next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Bana. Not much to say here about these folks. But is what they did important? Absolutely. They were faithful. You know, the fact is, we're not all going to be priests, nobles, Levites, rulers. Those are some titles you see here in this passage. But if all the work rested on them, the job wouldn't get done. We need faithful men. Men who are okay to work without a title and okay to build wall. You know, there's a brother that that was there among us there, and he was no ordination, no title. But if he was asked to see the project, you could rest assured it would get taken care of. A faithful brother who was okay to just quietly go about, and you had full confidence that what he was asked to do, he would make sure that it was done. We need brothers like that who are faithful to just build wall. Yes, sir. I don't have to be seen. But whatever I can do to help provide a safe place for our families, give me a place to fill. I'll do it. Verse 5, next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. It's an interesting verse here, the Tekoites repaired. So the way I read this verse is that they did work. They worked. But the higher up people among them scoffed at it. You know, build a wall? No. But the common people, the main folks, they went and did it. But their nobles held back. Why they hold back? I don't know. Perhaps they thought they were too important to get their hands dirty. And you know, this is a real temptation. If we have a title, there is a fleshly tendency that can come in to use our authority to and not humble ourselves and take that lowly task like Jesus did. He was willing to stoop down and wash his disciples' feet. Perhaps they thought it wasn't important enough. It's just wall. There's no gate. There's no, you know, it's just build wall? No. Count us out. Perhaps they were too busy with noble work, you know. Sometimes we can fill our lives so full of other things that we actually don't have time to do God's work. But I admire these people, though, the Tekoites, that even though their nobles didn't help them, it didn't stop them. You know, I have a burden for maybe young people who grew up in maybe a dysfunctional home, or maybe their parents hold back from really plugging into the church. I just have a burden that people in that place don't let that hinder them from, in a respectful way, their parents going ahead and following God. I like this picture here. These Tekoites, they didn't let the nobles' bad attitude hold them back. They put their heart to it, and they repaired just like the other faithful people did. And what's interesting, if you look down at verse 27, these Tekoites, they were ambitious people, and somehow, in spite of their nobles holding back, they got a vision for the work of God. You see them again in verse 27. It says here, after them, the Tekoites repaired another piece. So God bless these Tekoites. They got their section done, and they said, what else is there to do? And they went over here, found another place that needed help, and they went there and repaired another piece. I just think it's beautiful. In spite of their nobles holding back, they had a vision to see this work completed, and they put their heart to it. So let's take a lesson from them, and don't let someone without a vision hold you back. Verse 6, moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshullam, the son of Besodeiah. They laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. So here again, I'm using some conjecture. I'm not sure if that's the right word, but I'm using some imagination here, kind of like the fish gate. So here, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, and he laid the beams thereof, set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And again, he got this, you know, God bless Jehoiada here. He had a vision to see this old gate functioning. And I'm not sure what the old gate referred to. Was it not used much anymore? You know, maybe he could have thought, well, hey, we can just fill in with wall here. We don't have to have the old gate anymore. Everyone's using the new gate. I don't know. But he didn't. He had a vision to get this old gate, in spite of whatever it signified, functioning well. Maybe he liked to use that old gate. I don't know. But he laid the beams, set up the door, got it functioning, maybe greased those hinges, and got it to where it could be securely locked, you know? Even if it's out here, maybe out here and not on Main Street anymore, the enemy will find this gate if it's not secure, and they'll come in here. We need to get this gate securely lockable. And I don't know what to make of this exactly, but, you know, here's a thought I'll throw out here for you all. You know, in church and brotherhood, sometimes we can have different ideas about new things that come in. We have those who are more, don't see the dangers of it. Embrace, you know, maybe more permissive about some things. And then sometimes, and we have some brothers like that at home, that they really value the old gate. And they get uncomfortable when they see the new gate being used too much. You follow what I'm saying here? You follow what I'm saying? New things coming in, that it's a concern for them. And I'm not saying there's never a place to use the new gate. I think it's okay to use the new gate with some carefulness. But I think we need to make sure we don't shut those old brothers up, those concerned brothers up, that have a caution about some new things and want to lift up some of the old ways and say, I'm just not comfortable about this. I think we need to make sure we hear what they're saying and don't shut them up. Amen? There is value in the old gate. There is value in the old gate. And not everything that we came from was bad. It wasn't. And I think we need to be careful with the same thing here, like Brother Joshua shared. If to too much having out with the old, in with the new idea, attitude here. So let's listen to those brothers who have caution and concern about the new and the too much new, and hear what they had to say, and not be too quick to throw away the old paths. We need the old gate, work ethics, cautions about technology, simplicity of living, ability to enjoy simple things of life. There's value in those things. We need the old gate. Verse 7, and next unto them repaired Melatiah the Gibeonite and Jadon the Maronathite, the men of Gibeon and of Mizpah, unto the throne of the governor on this side of the river. So who are the Gibeonites? When you think of Gibeonites, what do you think of? Right. I think of old shoes, moldy bread, worn out bottles. You know, and here they are. What are they doing here? Gibeonite. And I stayed into it somehow. From all I could tell, that's who these people were. Descendants of those people, generations later, here still living among the Israelites. And here are the Gibeonites, you know, and they want to help build. They want to help repair the wall. Maybe they've come to worship the true God. I don't know what all to make of that. But here they are. And you know, they could have easily said, well, you know, we're not Israelites. We don't qualify, you know. But no, they got a vision for it. And I just think of the beauty of I don't like the term outside. But the beauty of whoever wants to come help build God's church, build God's kingdom. You know, whoever, Gibeonites, Israelites, folks from Jericho, just everyone, whoever wants to come help build God's kingdom. It's beautiful. I believe it's the heart of God. No one should feel that he's from the outside and cannot and does not qualify to help build the wall. Verse 8, next unto them repaired Uzziel, the son of Harahiah of the goldsmiths. Next unto him also repaired Hananiah, the son of one of the apothecaries. And they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. And here you have people that I would view as people with some sophisticated training. I think of people from maybe they had been through college. And, you know, I don't know that they had training about building walls, carpentry. But, you know, they were probably had higher education, goldsmiths and apothecaries. Apothecary, isn't that mixing those anointing oils, isn't it? You know, it's more, probably more technical work. You know, building walls is probably outside their expertise. But here they are, people with sophisticated training, wanting to come out there, get their hands dirty, and build a safe place to raise their families. And, you know, I think it's a blessing when people that maybe have been through college and things like that, and they get a vision for their families. They get a vision for God's kingdom, and they want to come join themselves to the people of God and help build God's kingdom. Verse 9, and next unto them repaired Raphai, the son of Hur, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. Here's a humble ruler. He's not like the nobles of Tekoa. He's not afraid to get out there and get his hands dirty. Work up a sweat. A good example for a ruler. Not one who just tells others what to do, but one who can also get in there himself. Verse 10, and next unto them repaired Jediah, the son of Harumaph, even over against his house. And next unto him repaired Hattush, the son of Hashbaniah. Okay, this is one of the verses we read earlier about even over against his house. So I want to talk a little bit about this phrase, even over against his house. You know, when you want to help work in the church, where's a good place to start? Well, I think all of us, a good place to start, instead of looking around what everybody else is doing, you know, there's people like that in life, right? Instead of actually minding their own business and being faithful with maybe some needs in their own life, they go around criticizing other people. And, that's not how you build wall. You're supposed to do it this way. And instead of, in the meantime, over here behind their own house, there's some real needs. So I think if we're going to build God's wall, I think we should be open, honest. I think a good place to start is to open ourselves up. Say, brothers, speak into my life. Is there anything in my life that concerns you? And be able to receive input about needs in your own life. Often we can be very blind to our wall, maybe having some weak spots in it. And it can be very touchy when a brother comes and says, you know, actually, you really should give some attention here to this area in your life. So a good place to start is to open our heart to the idea that maybe there's a beam in my eye, and I need to be willing to let someone else speak into my life and point out maybe some crumpled stone in my own wall behind my house. And another thing there with that is what is in your hand? What is right before you? What do you have to that you can contribute? I really appreciated a sermon that Sam Hostetler preached last year at the Burn Bible School. Early this year. And it was titled, "What is in Thy Hand?" He brought out the point that, you know, throughout the scriptures, you see God using often whatever people had. Whether it was Moses' staff. What is in your hand? It's a staff. And God used that staff. God used the scarlet cord that Rahab had. God used the ox goad that Shamgar had. You can go on and on. There's many things that God used. God used King David in his stone and sling that he already had. And many times, it's not so much about us going out and finding some great thing, but actually, what do we have that we already have that we can contribute? And if God opens our eyes and we open ourselves up and maybe are willing to do something that's humble and lowly and not some great feat, but just something that's before us, something, and if you're faithful in that little thing, people walk by, wow, you have a nice looking wall there. You've been really faithful here. Maybe I can get you to come over here and help so-and-so. They need some help over there. But if your own wall is in shambles, is anyone going to ask you that? Probably not. But if you're faithful to what's before you, you'll be useful in other areas. So what's in your hand? What's before you? Are you open to input from the brothers in your life? Or are you touchy and, people don't feel safe to go and talk to you about needs? Are you humble and approachable? So what is the wall by your house? Maybe it's your own family. Perhaps it's people you work with. You know, developing a heart of compassion for people, an interest in other people and what they're going through. How's it been going, brother? And involving yourself in each other's lives. Visiting someone you know is struggling. Ministering to your neighbors down the road. Checking up on someone who shared a prayer request. There's just a few things that we can do that are, I think, our walls right by our house. I think it's good to, as you go to church Sunday morning or as you pray before you leave, say, God, help me to minister to someone today. You know, and I think it's okay to say, God, would you minister to me today? We need that sometimes. But also, go with a heart to contribute. Go with a heart to seek to encourage someone. And that's ways you can build the wall by your house. And, you know, and sometimes we might think that we don't have a lot to offer. You know, brothers, there's time, you know, being a minister doesn't necessarily change that either. You know, there's many times we have to pray, God, give me something to share. Give me something to help. And oftentimes, it's not so much about having a lot of good things to say as it is having a caring heart and a listening ear and say, I'll pray for you. You know, just having someone to share with your struggle, having someone who listens, someone you know that cares, goes a long ways. It goes much farther than having a lot of things to share. You don't have to have a lot of things to share. So you can just say, thank you for sharing. I'll pray for you. And that can do so much for a person, for a brother or sister who's struggling. Faithfulness on the section of wall in my backyard will get us a long way, not dreaming of someday doing some big thing, right? Just being faithful with what's in your hand, being faithful with what's before you, caring about others, that'll get you a long way in life, not dreaming of someday doing some big thing for God. I think one way of building the wall by my house is faithfulness in personal devotions and being faithful in family devotions. You know, I think that how much closer does the wall get to our house in that, right? Than being faithful in my own walk with God and being faithful as fathers in family devotions. That's, I think, a big way of building the wall by my house. You don't have to be ordained to build the wall by your house. Okay, verse 11. Micaiah, the son of Haram, and Hashab, the son of Pathamoab, repaired the other piece in the Tower of the Furnaces. And there's a few verses here that I think, if we would put them out in, put them up for grabs, you know, I don't know. There's one down there. Which one is it? Verse 15. It talks about the gate of the fountain. Gate of the fountain. By the king's garden in verse 15. The stairs that go down from the city of David. I thought I mentioned about a pool too. Anyway. I'm missing it there. But anyway, there's a few gates, I think, and maybe this tower that probably be grabbed up first, you know? Wouldn't it be, it's probably more exciting to build a tower than it would be to build just plain wall, right? But you know, a mature brother, a mature man, doesn't think about what's exciting as much as we want to have a safe place for our families, right? And we want to get this place secured. And it's not about what's fun. It's what about what needs to be done. And, you know, whether it's a tower, whether it's a wall, or whether it's a gate, how can I help? That's the heart that we all should have. There's a there's a new piece of equipment that we recently got at the butcher shop. And for years, my nephew Timothy worked there in the butcher shop. And his job was, he was stuck in this corner. No, his face towards the corner, the machine he operated was there in that corner. Everyone else is out here at the more in the middle of the room, and the deboning table's here, which had people around it. So often there was, you know, conversations, enjoyable talk going around here. And with the hum of the machines, he was over here in this corner, and he couldn't really be involved as much. But that young man, he stuck to it. He was faithful with his nose in that corner. And he ran that stuffer. He was stuffing the sausage and burger into bags. It was a partially manual stuffer, and so it got very, very boring. But he learned diligence there in that corner, and he is now one of the best workers we have there in that business. And he's fast. He's faithful. He's responsible. And but it came through years of being faithful to do what he was asked to do. Do a boring job, do it well, and he got very fast with that stuff, and he could pretty much keep up with a really good crew of deboners. And he's the fastest one on that thing. And but because of that, my brother Philip, who manages there, he recently bought a brand new chub machine that attaches to that stuffer. Now that machine, he's very easily able to keep up, and he's able to come back now and help debone and help talk, and he can quickly go stuff. And, you know, he's not there in the corner near as long. And it's a new machine. It's exciting. But, you know, do you think Timothy would have been allowed to run that new machine or get that new machine had he not been faithful there in the corner? I don't think so. But Philip saw his faithfulness. And he said, you know, he really ought to have an improvement. It's hard to keep up. And you know, maybe we would have got the machine, but Timothy probably wouldn't be running it if he hadn't been faithful with the boring common job. So I think a heart for us in the church is not so much about what's fun, but what needs to be done. What needs to be done, whether it's a wall or whether it's a tower. You know, just give me a job to do. I want to help provide a safe place for our families. Some worked on locks, on gates, on walls, and some worked on towers. And this man here, he repaired a wall and a tower. He was willing to do either one. He's willing to do the wall as well as a tower. It's all part of what has to be done here to repair this broken down wall. In the church life, there's very similar things. Are we okay if we don't get chosen to build the tower, whatever the tower it means to you? Is there jealousy that enters your heart when maybe someone else gets chosen for a job that you would have liked to have? Are you willing to just be faithful in a corner? Okay. Verse 12. And next unto him repaired Shalem, the son of Haholish, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. That's an interesting verse there. Here's a ruler as well. And I suppose this ruler probably could have used his authority to not do this job, or maybe call some people to come help. I mean, all he has was daughters. I think it's an interesting verse. You know, I wonder what his vision was. You know, he could have thought, well, all I have is girls. You know, what can I contribute? But no, he says, come on, daughters, let's go out there. We can't do much, but let's go build a wall. You know, I've imagined him there helping grab this block, and one of his daughters, maybe two on the other side, and they're trying to heave this thing up in place there, and they're probably not getting a whole lot done. But Shalem, he wanted to help build. He wanted to help involve his family in what little bit they could do. And he's out there with his girls building wall. And just down the road, there's an army of people going on. And then the next verse here, look at the next verse. It says, the valley gate repaired Hanan and the inhabitants of Zenoa. Maybe they weren't next door, but it's the next verse anyway. They built it. It says, notice, the inhabitants of Zenoa. I don't know how many folks there were there, the inhabitants of Zenoa. But I get the idea, it was a bunch, a whole village went up there together. And they went in there and they just stormed the place and they built this wall. Just amazing workforce. They built it and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof. So wall and a gate. It says, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gate. You know, if a cubit is a foot and a half, that's 1,500 feet. And, you know, just up the block, you have, here's Shalem with his girls there just pecking away. And, you know, he could have felt like, well, look at that. I might as well just go home, you know. But here's Shalem with his girls. They're building, you know, trying to get this block up on here. And down here is this whole army going at it, building 1,500 feet of wall. You know, and I just, you know, I bless Shalem. I think it's beautiful. I think, you know, if we can involve our families, maybe we can't contribute much. But, you know, come on, family, we can't do much, but let's offer what we can. You know, I think it's beautiful. And we're all, it's not about who does more, who does less. Jesus says some do 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But if we all do what we could, and it's all about, let's get this wall up where we have a safe place for our families. And I don't believe the big work crew there, I don't think they scoffed at Shalem. I think they appreciated that man up there with his daughters working away. God bless you, Shalem. You're doing a good job. And I don't think Shalem would need to be intimidated by only getting 20 feet done if that's all he got done. It's all about what we can do. She has done what she could. Okay, well, I should try to wind this down here shortly. Maybe just a few more here. Verse 14, but the dung gate repaired Malchiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of the part of Beth-Hakarim. He built it, set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. You know, I think if you'd put all these gates and wall sections out there, probably, you know, I'm guessing maybe the dung gate would have been the last one that got chosen. You know, it might have stunk around there. It might have been the one that, you know, nobody wanted to do. But this man, he realized, hey, if the enemy's going to come in, they'll come in wherever they can. The stink won't keep them out. And we're going to, I'll do that one. It all has to be done? Sure. I'll go down there and I'll build that one. And he did a good job. He built it, put the doors in there, the locks and the bars. And he got that dung gate, in spite of how it might have been, he got it up and going. And it's not about what's fun, but it's about having a safe, secure place for our families. He was a ruler. He could have probably used his authority to get out of that job. He could probably use his authority to have an easier job for him. But he was willing to build the dung gate. The next gate was probably one that was more pleasant. The gate of the fountain, verse 15. The wall by the pool of Siloah, by the king's garden. You know, I think it's a beauty. You know, it sounds like it's maybe more of a park section of the city, more of a park section, and it would have been enjoyable. But it all has to be done. Ambitious man, and it seems like he maybe did a little extra to this gate. It includes something that none of the others have. It says there he. Where is it at? He covered it there. It says he built it and covered it. None of the other gates says he covered it. Maybe he had a little extra touch to that gate because of where it was, a little more of a scenic area possibly. Put a little extra touch to it to give it a little more maybe rustic look or something that went along with the garden and the fountain and the pool there. So, yes. I might skip a few verses there, 16, 17, 18, 19. It's just more faithful people, more rulers, Levites, that all a beautiful picture of everyone working together, whether they're ordained or not, whether the rulers are common folks, everyone just having a place to fill, no one just being bench warmers. Verse 20, it says, after him, Baruch, the son of Zebiah, earnestly repaired the other piece from the turning of the wall unto the door of the house of Eliashib the high priest. The scripture here includes that he earnestly repaired. I don't know what it looked like, you know, but when you walk past where he was working, you could tell he was earnestly repairing the wall. Was his shirt sweated wet? Was he just really working fast? Was he getting a lot done? I don't know. I think of a man that came to a work day one time. He got there late. And we were trying to unload a truck, and it wasn't quite unstrapped, or I'm not sure what all it was. But he got there late, and he just really wanted to help. And it wasn't nothing really to do, but he was just kind of doing like this right here. He couldn't hold still. He wanted to help. He felt bad about being late, and he was a very energetic man, and he was just earnestly wanting to help. And I get the picture of maybe this man was just, he had a vision. We got to get this done. We're vulnerable here. Let's get this wall up. And he had his heart into it, and he was earnestly repairing the wall. May God help us all to not be complacent, not be half-hearted, but to have some of this attitude of Baruch here as he earnestly repaired the wall. Okay. Maybe we could read verses 28. 29 and 30. Just again, it talks about everyone over against his house. From the horse gate repaired the priests, everyone over against his house. After them repaired Zadok, the son of Immer, over against his house. After him repaired also the Shimei, the son of Shechani, the keeper of the east gate. After him repaired Hanani, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanan, the sixth son of Zaloth, another piece. And after him repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, over against his chamber. When God opens our eyes and gives us a heart to build, we won't have to look far. There are opportunities right outside our door. I think it's good if we get our wall finished to go around and say, brother, neighbor, do you need some help here? You know, I got mine done. Is there a way I can help you? And instead of, you know, I think of maybe some boys I see that maybe have a bad attitude, get their job done first, and they kind of smugly come around and just, and just kind of, in a kind of mocking way, you know, I got mine done already, you know, and they're kind of showing off that they got theirs done first, but not offering to help. I think in the body of Christ, we should have a heart, if we get done, let's go help someone else. And there's no attitude of superiority, you know, that we're better at it than you are or anything like that, but a heart to help. And just, you know, in a humble way, go in there and give a hand. Maybe Shammer, the one with the daughters, maybe he could use some help down there. Maybe he's having a hard time getting it done. Let's go see if he needs some help. He doesn't have any boys to help him. So I might pause, just stop it right there, and just maybe share a few things. I don't know what you all do here, but at home when I shared this message, I just wanted to bless the congregation for things I noticed that they do and we're doing, and different ones. We that song. I'll keep moving here. The beauty of everyone building a little section by his own house, and how much we can get done when we all work together. You know, just, you know, as I just see the picture of all around that city, the wall was slowly being built up, all around that city, and I think about church. You know, the whole body ministering to itself, and in a Sunday morning, you know, maybe someone comes who's struggling, and maybe someone not even in the ministry, they go and check up on that person, that brother, that sister, and minister to them. I think it's God's will. I know it's God's will. The body edifying itself. A few things that I blessed our congregation for was just recently there was a young man who asked me about another young man who was struggling and just shared how he's been talking to him. You know, I just think it's such a beautiful thing when even in the young people, there's that care and concern and interest that happens on, that goes on, that happens. There's a brother who he's not been asked to, but at every brother's meeting, he brings cookies and juice and has it all set up there. After the brother's meeting, there's visiting, it goes on. He wasn't asked to do it. He does it. Just things that contribute to the family, a wholesome atmosphere there. There's brothers who spend hours maintaining our rickety heating system that we have at home. We have a chip burner, and it takes a lot of maintenance. And there's a brother who spends hours there making sure we have heat in our house, in our meeting house. There's, you know, I thought about it. We had meetings a few weekends recently on the weekend of meetings. And, you know, we as a ministry get together, we plan this thing, we announce it, and we kind of drop it then. And then there's this committee that takes care of the meals, and they just put hours of work into making sure that all the meals are taken care of for those meetings. And everyone, yeah, a lot of coordinators. And there's, you know, it's easy to make plans and announce it, invite people, but then there's people that spend hours behind the scenes doing those things. And it's all part of the body functioning. It's kind of like the fish gate, you might say. there was, for those meetings, we didn't have air conditioning there, and there was some young men who chipped in. They bought some big old fans to pull air through there to keep it cool. We didn't ask them to do it, but they did it. And it's just things there that people can contribute to bless and to help. You know, I'm not going to be preaching, but I can buy some fans and put in there to help cool the place down. There's people that spend hours in the sermon ministry making CDs and putting sermons on the website and those types of things that often goes unnoticed, and, you know, until there's sound system problems, and then there's all kinds of looks that go back there when the sound system's not working right. Yeah, there's those who keep the grounds mowed and looking tidy. There's those who Yeah, there's many things to do. We actually got air conditioners in there now, and there was those who invested time hooking those things up just recently at home. There's a widow ministry. When we have brothers' meetings, the brothers are getting together. The young ladies, they go and they go visiting widows in the community. And, you know, we didn't ask them to do it, but they do it. And it's a beautiful thing. It's the body working together and reaching out. And they go visiting widows and sing for them, visit those. There's many who personally, I know it happens here too, who personally meet with, reach out to, and disciple struggling ones who are seeking to find their way. There's a brother I know of that is he's very faithful in that. He's not in the ministry, but he does better at that than I do. And just reaching out and discipling struggling ones, young people, and helping them find their way. There's those who steal away in secret, intercede for souls and knees in the church, and they call down God's blessings on us. And brothers, if we don't have that in our churches are going to fall apart. I know I honor my mother for that. I think much of the blessing that we have there, I think, hinges a lot on the prayers of my mother and others too. I've heard her pray. I know she prays. And she calls down. And I wonder if in the end, I'm sorry, I'm going longer than I meant to go. But I wonder if in the end, the ones who get the rewards from God, maybe those who were not up here, but those who secret interceded with God for the church, for souls. And there's many more things. So may God help us to be faithful to the wall by our house. What do you have in your hand? What can you contribute? What are ways you can do to build the wall of God, the wall of the church of God? Perhaps you're not a high priest or a Levite or a ruler. Perhaps you don't even know how to build gates and towers, but surely you can build wall. Shalom's daughters could do that. And, you know, a big tall wall could look overwhelming. But if you look over into chapter 4, it says they got the wall done unto the half thereof. So they didn't say, they said, hey, we want to eventually have it 20 feet tall, but let's just go 10 feet, folks. Let's get this thing connected. And so if you look in chapter 4, they got it all the way joined together up to 10 feet. You know, maybe we can't jump as high as we'd like to, but let's jump. You know, maybe we can only reach this level of attainment. But, you know, maybe you feel like you don't have much to offer, but give what you can. Maybe it's only halfway, but at least it's that. Let's go at least halfway. Another thing, too, I think we need to remember is if you look in chapter 4, when you begin to build the wall, expect opposition from the enemy. When you begin to work in God's kingdom, and you're sacrificing, you're working, you can expect opposition from the enemy. It happened in the next chapter. You'll see that there. So God bless you all. Hope that can be an encouragement. And I believe we all have a wall behind our house. And let's be faithful there. Then let's go down the wall ways and see if there's someone else who can use a hand.